Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
You need to stand by for a wonderful Cowboy Church. Testimonies, songs, a great sermon. We're in so many neat places, Russ. Isn't it exciting to be a part of Cowboy Church?
Absolutely. And what I really like about it is I never know exactly what I'm going to say.
Well, that's kind of the way it is, isn't it?
It is. Stay tuned. We're going to figure it out, though. We promise.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. And so I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will
song I'm sure a few of you are familiar with, so if you guys know it, you can feel free to sing along with me. It's called Three Wooden Crosses, and this song also just talks about how in this life there's things that happen that we don't understand, but God has a plan for them, and even though we don't see it, his plan is always better than we could ever imagine.
A farmer and a teacher, hooker and a preacher, Riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education. Two of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never ever saw the stop sign. 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That farmer left to harvest a home and 80 acres and the faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children and did her best to give them all a better start. And that preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? As he laid his bloodstained Bible in that hooker's hands. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's a story that our preacher told last Sunday as he held that bloodstained Bible up for all of us to see. Said, bless the farmer and the teacher and that preacher who gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of highway.
The cross is a crossroads of the universe. It's the intersecting point of everything that is important to a Christian. It was the great sacrifice that atoned for all of our sins that allows us the privilege of being able to spend eternity with God. It allows us the privilege of having God living in us and experiencing all the things that go with that. It's a powerful moment. It's a powerful moment. The cross is personal. I was so privileged. I have a mom and dad that they're great people. They really are. And I think often what a privilege it was for me to be raised in that family. I know it's a privilege that every one of you wish you would have had. You wish you were my brother or sister. I know you do. Every one of you hang around them, they keep talking about dad. I mean, I got the greatest mom and dad. And if pedigrees meant everything, if it's like quarter horses, your mom's a quarter horse, your dad's a quarter horse, you're a quarter horse. That's not how Christianity works. Mom's a Christian, dad's a Christian, you must be a Christian. No, it doesn't matter. You have to choose. You have to make the choice yourself. It has to be a personal encounter with a living God. You can't be a Christian just because you're raised in America and your mom and dad were Christians. Mom and dad went to church every Sunday, they drugged me with them, I must be a Christian. Doesn't work like that. It's personal. You get to be a Christian because of your own personal encounter at the intersection with Jesus Christ. That's what you get to be a Christian over. And it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified and all only Jesus Christ that allows you access to the heaven. You have to stake your claim You have to mark your moment. It's the point in time when you say, I have decided to follow Jesus, and you ask him to please forgive you. At that moment, stake your claim. Secondly, it's a covenant. God always does covenants. He doesn't do contracts. A covenant is like this. Both parties decide that they're going to make everything they do everything they can do to make it work. A contract, everybody's looking for loopholes. Covenant, you're looking to make it work. And when God covenants with you and God says he will help you make it work, in your weakness, he's made strong and he fills in the gaps and helps you to be the person you always wanted to be. It doesn't happen without God's help. It's a setup for retirement. When I got called in ministry, it was an interesting thing. It was a powerful encounter with God. And I was really disappointed because I wanted to be a cowboy. And I knew God was calling me in the ministry. And so finally, I just knelt down and prayed. And I says, okay, I'm going to be a preacher. And here's what I thought a preacher got to do. He got to go to Bible school. He got to marry somebody who could play the piano, sing alto, and prophesy. He got to be an assistant pastor until he reached some point of credibility. Then he pastored a church, and when he died, he went to heaven. I thought that's what preachers get to do. I had no idea how fun my life was going to get to be. But there is a responsibility for us that goes into eternity, is to set up our eternity in heaven. There's a responsibility to that. And guys, it's a difficult thing to do. But Jesus did the hard part. You don't have to die on the cross again. You have to die out to sin. Over and over and over and over and over. Over and over. Every day. It's establish your identity. That's where the cross is. All of these things are personal. These are personal things that happen with the cross. But I'm going to tell you there's more to it than just personal. It's personal, but it's also collective. It's collective in that when you ask Christ into your life, you're part of the team. Now, Christians haven't done team very well. I mean, some have, a lot have. But overall, we haven't done team very well. You disagree with me when the rapture is going to happen, we'll start a different church. You disagree with me on being filled with the Holy Spirit as evidence of speaking in tongues or not, we're going to start a different church. You disagree with me on all kinds of nitpicky things, we just start another church. We're the church that doesn't agree with everybody else. This is our church. And we haven't done team well. We just haven't. I'm sad about that because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Now, guys, if we're acting like a church collectively as a team, we should never have allowed prayer to be taken out of our schools. We should never have allowed the abortion bill to ever pass. And this week, they're standing in front of Congress, and there's a lady there that wants to destroy a live baby after it's born called post-birth abortion is the next thing on. They're not going to stop. The next thing they'll be after is old people. And I'm getting too close to that. It makes me nervous. Yeah, post-living abortions. But dear God, save a cat. Yeah. Hannah likes these bobtail cats. You should see the kooky adoption places. One of them actually said, they're just like people. No, she said it's like a human adoption. Are you kidding me? Ours are barn cats. They have to fend for themselves. If they don't like to eat rats, they starve. No, we feed them cat food. They actually live real good at our house, but good night. Our society's gone nuts. We've gone nuts. And it's because the church is afraid to say anything. So we go passive, and we're not afraid. We're afraid to say anything because we're listed as a radical. God help us. We are the balancing factor. Amen. We're the balancing. And if we approach it with a bad attitude, we're Neanderthals. We need to be able to
We are a part of the Cross of Collective. It's a fraternal brotherhood. It's the greatest fraternal brotherhood that's ever been. We allow women. It's the church. It's the stand. It's the cause. It's the strategy. We need to build strategy to keep it, guys. If we just let it go by and keep dividing and dividing ourselves, the enemy has divided and he's beginning to conquer, and we don't allow that to happen. We need to stand up and make a difference. Man, this is good preaching. Luke 9:23, you can tell we're near the end. We're getting down to the point where the scripture comes in. Luke 9:23 says this. They said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." And what? Okay, here's the important. Take up his cross. We know what the cross is. That's the stand. That's the thing that God did on the cross. Jesus did on the cross for our sins. That's our cause. That's the thing we're standing for. We're going to take up the cause to follow Christ daily. Paul said it like this. He said, "I die what? Daily. I die out to sin. I'm raised anew unto God every day." That means every day there's a plan that God has for our life. I'm not living for myself. I'm living for God. And we're working together living for God. But here's the beauty of it. It says, let him take up his cross. Now, I took the other scripture that says this, but I like for you to hear this daily part because the daily is so important. But the other scripture is in Mark chapter 8. All four of the Gospels have this scripture in some form or the other. It says, "And when he had called these people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his." So I looked up his, because I know we're in a cowboy church. We like hammering the men. We like the men. We talk about the men. They should be the leaders and all of that sort of thing. And we still do. But if a man will be a great leader, the women will be better off. But this, the word his, has nothing to do with just men. It's men, women, it's everybody. But the beauty of it is the tense in which it's spoken. The tense is, it's the tense of personal and collective. It's team. There's personal responsibility on every single team. You know that? You have to take your personal responsibility, do what you're supposed to do. Here's the situation. If I'm the preacher, and when they say Shepherd's Valley Cowboy Church, that's Russ's church, we've missed it. Now, it's okay to identify me as the pastor, but the truth of the matter is, when we say Shepherd's Valley Cowboy Church, what we're talking about is you. I'm supposed to be the inspiration here. I'm supposed to challenge you. I'm supposed to do what pastors are supposed to do, and you're supposed to be the church. And when you walk out of here, you're supposed to walk out equipped, empowered, endued with power from on high through the Holy Spirit, through the power of God. And as you walk out of these doors, you be the church and you begin to make the difference in the marketplace. You are the church. You are the team. And the thing about it is, in Christianity, we will never be able to do what God called us to do if we don't understand the concept of team. We can have great individuals, but if great individuals don't collectively, together, work together to be all that God called them to be, the church as a team will never be able to withstand the onslaught of the devil himself against our culture, against our lives, against our kids, against the things that will destroy America. We need to make a difference. So, Russ, how do you make a difference? You start living like a Christian. Living like a Christian. We're not Neanderthals. We should be men and women of grace and love and virtue and strength who know how to make a stand and do it in such a manner that it attracts people instead of repels them. And that only happens through the grace of God living in us and through us. And I'm asking you today to do what Paul did. He said, "I die daily." And if we don't die daily, we're going to allow sin to come into our lives, into our nations, into our schools, into our homes, and it will destroy everything that it gets involved in, because sin destroys, not Christians. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. God, please forgive us again. God, forgive us individually. God, forgive us collectively. God, help us to be your people. God, help us to stand in a manner that would add honor and nobility and grace to the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, if you died on the cross for our sins, God, help us to be in awe and in honor. God, in our worship, help us to realize all it is that you did for us. God, help us to be humbled, even disgraced by our sins. Lord, most of all, challenge us to change. Don't just forgive us. Change us. God, bring us to a place where you can use us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be a part of your team, a part of your church. God, build us in a way that we're healthy, because we know you said about your church that the gates of hell shouldn't prevail against it. Lord, I pray you'd take away the infighting and backbiting amongst it so that we don't destroy it within ourselves. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are so glad you joined us today for this episode of Cowboy Church.
I hope your heart was challenged. I really hope that today Cowboy Church did something to improve your walk with God or head you in the right direction or give you something spiritual to contemplate and go look up. And, you know, I like to tell people that don't trust me. Don't trust me. I'm just a preacher. If you hear something that I've said that you don't agree with, go look in the Bible and find out what the Word of God has to say with it. I'm a fallible person, but I really want to try to do it right, but I'm more concerned that you get the right message. So you go look it up if you don't agree with it, and we'll both be better off for it, won't we?
Yeah, iron sharpens iron.
There we go.
We would love to hear from you. Write to us at the address on the screen, or you can email us. Like us on Facebook, but most of all, tell your friends and neighbors and family about Cowboy Church. We would love to hear from you. And remember, we are a nonprofit organization that needs your donations. If you love Cowboy Church, love us back by your financial gift. We appreciate it. God bless you. We'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the roaring thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.